InvestTalk will begin in just a moment. One of the most important reasons to become an InvestTalk insider is to have access to a whole library of info sheets and continually updated lists, like dividend-paying ETFs, for an example. You can join for free, and there's never any charge for any of the informational content. You can sign up right now on investtalk.com if you'd like. And now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of InvestTalk. It is January 15th, 10 trading days in the new year, and it's the worst 10 trading days for the start of a year ever. Remember, I said that last week for the first 5 trading days. Well, now we got 10. I certainly hope you have your seatbelt on and buckled in for this wild ride of the stock market, because that's what it is, wild ride. Now, you know, our mission every day is to try to help answer some questions, try to give you information, try to help you make better money choices, whether it's investing in your personal financial assets or just learning more about how investing works. It doesn't matter. Beginner or experienced, I want to talk to you. This week ended with another bad session. I mean, we're down 391 points for the Dow. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll give you some more details. In our current market conditions section, you know, where you send out our email every Friday, and this was in the first section, I talked about earnings season, and you notice it's not getting a lot of play, but it is in earnings season. We're getting earnings out there. And, you know, how Wall Street constantly beats on the drum of positive stock market cheerleading. They finally are grudgingly admitting that the numbers are pretty weak, and they actually have been pretty weak for all of last year and now starting this year. That numbers mean earnings per share. We're going to talk about that more later in the show, too. The economic numbers out this week just continue to show us kind of a pretty meandering growth, maybe slowing growth for the fourth quarter kind of numbers for the GDP. Nothing very exciting. The strong dollar is hurting our exports or hurting our bigger corporations because they can't export. You know, so, and I always cap off that first section of the newsletter with some recommendations of what we're doing, what we think you ought to do. Nothing really specific because I got clients I have to serve first, but I try to give you some hints. And every week we have a couple stock ideas, and this week we talked about hedging and some ETFs that hedge different parts of the market. And of course, the portfolio management section was talking about balance sheets, the word that no one likes, the two words that people don't like to hear, but are pretty important. And what do you need to look at in the balance sheet? And finally, in the consumer watch section, there's 4 sections in the newsletter. The consumer watch section, I talked about another scam, and this is one that someone tried on me, the IRS scam. It's a new IRS scam where they call you up and tell you, they if you pick up the phone, they tell you personally, or you can leave a message about how you owe money to the IRS and you need to take care of it because interest is building, penalties are building, you got to take care of it. And then they just try to dig you for more for information, personal information. So the IRS does not make phone calls. Okay, everybody? So don't, if you get an IRS message, an urgent message from the IRS or on the phone, you know it's a scam right away. Anyways, you can try the newsletter. It's free. You can test it. It's $9.99 a month. But if you don't like it within 30 days, you know, there's no charge. And you can buy it month to month. You don't have to have it forever. So what are your questions today? Do you want to talk about the market? Probably you do. Are you thinking long or short term? You want to talk about hedges against this volatile market? What's a hedge and how it works? It's time to get in the conversation, everybody. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. You can call it anytime you want. I hope you feel that you're part of the discussion, so give me a call now.
Hello, Steve and Justin. This is Max from Michigan. I have a question about newsletter that went out a while ago. There was a recommendation or an idea for shorting. There was 2 funds that were recommended or identified. My question is, do those types of instruments belong in a long-term retirement portfolio if you have no other shorting mechanism in the portfolio? And I'll listen for an answer on the podcast or the show tonight. Thanks. Bye.
Well, if you're a long-term investor, you kind of ignore the market. You just invest, keep investing, especially in the 401k, you just keep investing, and you kind of ignore the market. You don't have to pay that close attention. But I think every investor, long-term, short-term, intermediate-term, should have some kind of hedging strategy when things look bleak. And I think they've been looking not very good for all last year, and now we've seen some pretty heavy selling at the beginning of this year. That means you could short part of your portfolio, and yes, I think they do have a place and a time. Difficulty is trying to know when. Timing the market is almost impossible. All you can do is recognize that this is a higher risk market and maybe I should be more cautious. Versus, oh, this is a lower risk market and I don't need to be too cautious. I should be more aggressive. That's about as good as you can ever get timing the market. I don't care if you study charts and you know everything there is to know about the economy, the earnings per share, the numbers of the corporations, the world economy, the charting, fundamentals. I don't care how smart you are. It just doesn't work that way. You can only protect yourself on a broadly base. You know, you can get better at it, I will say that. But I'll tell you this, we started shorting too soon last year, in my personal opinion. Too soon. But, you know, it was a hedge against a fall. It worked great when the fall came. You know, but still, it's working great now, but yeah, we were still too soon. You know, that's why the timing is almost impossible. Okay, let's go to Bobby in Atlanta. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, good, Steve. How you doing?
I'm good.
The Schwab U.S. Dividend Equity Fund, S as a Sam, C as a Charlie, H as a House, D as a David.
Uh-huh.
I was interested in buying it, and I would like to hold that for, like, the next 20-plus years. Do you think it's a good time to pick it up, or should I still be patient?
Well, I think it's getting close to being a good time, yeah. This is the Schwab Dividend Equity ETF, exchange-traded fund seeking performance corresponding to the Dow Jones U.S. Dividend 100 Index. And, Bobby, dividends are a very, very important part of any long-term portfolio. You know, people don't pay enough attention to dividends, but it is. You know you're going to get that 3%, this is 3.2% on Schwab, this one. And I will say this, yeah, I think it's getting close to being a good place to buy it. You know, if we go into recession, it'll go down further, Bobby. But, you know, there's no real sign of a recession yet. So I'm thinking, you know, this would be a correction, and when the correction is over, this is something you'd want to buy. I would not.
Okay.
So I think you're getting close. You could, like, maybe buy, you know, you might just watch the chart. Right now, it's selling for $36.10, down 77 cents today. And it looks like, you know, at 36, it looks like right around $34.50 to $35 is the low it made in August and September.
Mm-hmm.
So it might go down there to retest that. And if it bounces from there, then I'd buy it.
Okay.
All
right. And do you think oil is going to hit $20? What's your take on it?
I don't think so. I know there's a lot of, you know, I see everybody saying, oh, oil's going down to $20. And I've seen couples say it's going to go down to $10. That's not happening. There's no way. But I've seen a number of them go down 20, and a lot of that is because Iran's probably going to come on with their supply, okay?
Right.
And that's making everybody really, really nervous. But right. I think most of that is built into the market price now. I think people know that it's coming in. So I can see it. You know, I think it's going to hover around this area. But then again, you know, I could be wrong. I'm not an expert on oil. I do like, because it's so low, Bobby, I do like some of the big integrated oil companies. And I've said that before, so it's nothing new. Okay?
Right. Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Right. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. Have a good weekend. The three-step retirement portfolio, which is kind of funny. That's the name of the article, but it's not really a three-step. It's a long-short portfolio. Long-short. It's called long-short portfolio. Do you know what that is? We're going to talk about that. It's going to be a main talking point today. Did we have capitulation The market's down. The Dow's down like 1,400 points for the first 2 weeks. Did we have capitulation today? Capitulation means that the market just, everybody give up. I'm going to discuss what capitulation is and did we have it and why it's important. And just so we don't want to be too negative, do you realize there are number of stocks that are up for the year? Did you know that? The highest one that we've seen of the big cap stocks is up 11.5%. Four out of the top 10 are energy companies. Granted, they're utility energy companies, but four of the top 10. But what I want to tell you what they've done this year and what they did last year for the whole year. And there was a study done, and the study said that there's no tie between GDP, growth of domestic product in the United States, and stock markets moving up or down. There's no tie in GDP and stock markets. Then that looks like that's a little misleading because I got to talk about the detail. But isn't that interesting? The GDP, the study admits that the growing GDP since 1929 corresponds to stock prices going up all that time. But the correlation is not there as to what really drives the stocks. And what do you think really drives a stock? Because they did point out what the correlation is, not GDP. The stock market is going up, not GDP, but there is something. And something I talk about all the time. That gives you a big hint, huh? 888, that's going to be our talking points. What do you want to discuss? 888-99-CHART is our number. If you're wondering if your retirement portfolio could be more in tune with the goals of your life situation, what's going on with the market, well, time to give me a call and set up a time. Do a one-on-one meeting with me. I make some recommendations, give you some options, tell you what we're doing. To reserve your time, go to investtalk.com and click on schedule a meeting or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to David in San Jose. How you doing, David?
Hey, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. Love your show.
Thank you very much.
Hey, I had a question about Yamana Gold. Mm-hmm. I had kind of shorted, and I first bought this about 2.5 months ago, maybe at the start of November.
Okay.
I was hoping to see an uptick, but unfortunately, it hasn't ticked at all. And if anything, it's regressed and gone completely the other direction. Like today, gold was up and Yamana was still down. So I was wondering if you...
It's not just Yamada, Dave. It's not just Yamada. If you look at all the gold, almost all the gold mining companies went down today, whereas gold went up. There was a disconnect today, and that's pretty unusual. Are you expecting gold to go up and these mining companies to go up, or did you say you were shorting it?
I was hoping to short it, but I'm kind of stuck now because I purchased back at the end of October, early November. So.
So you mean you sold it short then, right? Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Right.
Because remember, you don't purchase a short; you sell it. I know it's a little confusing. You sold a short, and I would be very, very careful because I think gold is trying to find a bottom. And you can even see on Yamada, which symbol is AUY, everybody, it's a Canadian gold company, that it looks like it's found, its bottom bid September, then spiked up a little bit. And it sounds like you bought it or sold it short when it was up a little higher. If you have profits in it, Bobby, I'd probably take them off the table. That's what I would do.
Okay.
David, I'm sorry, it's David. I'd probably take them off the table because... this looks like it's going to find support right here. It could break through, but I think that's a very high risk for you at this point because gold prices went up, mining's went down. That can't stay. If gold goes up, miners usually go up faster. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. This is the best talk, everybody. 888-992-4278. We're going to talk to David in San Rafael. How you doing, David?
Pretty good, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
A My question is regarding exercising NUA. I've got a good size amount of a company stock in my 401k and getting ready to retire. So what I'd like to do is to take a good chunk of that stock when I retire and exercise the NUA option on it.
NUA, what is that? Is that a stock? That's not coming up on my when I.
NUA is net unrealized appreciation.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm thinking in stock. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I got to refigure my brain here. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Are you familiar with that?
Yes. So continue.
Okay. So then my question is this, okay, typically the cost basis on a company stock when you exercise NUA is at a low
right.
point compared to what its the market value is.
Right.
What happens if that stock cost basis is equal to what the market value of that stock is selling for when you exercise that option?
Well, it depends. If your cost basis is equal when you exercise it, you do not have any appreciation. Therefore, you have no capital gains that is owed. I'm assuming that's what you're talking about. Do I owe capital gains tax because of the net? You know, did I realize any net gain? Well, not if you have a cost basis of 30 and the market is at 30 and you exercise the option at 30, then there's no benefit to you. It's only if it goes from then on up, that's your cost basis. Whenever you purchase that, that's your cost basis, unless you get to purchase it below market value. Okay, so go ahead.
Right, so what I'm getting at is that basically a strategy to kind of lower my IRA amount so that when I hit 70, I don't have to scramble around to reduce, so I can lower my RMD, basically.
Okay, so you I never heard anybody really want to lower their RMD. You want to raise your, the higher your money you make, the more that's in your 401k, the better. But I understand the strategy, if that's, a short-term strategy that you can reduce it. But, I haven't come across anybody who's tried to do this. I have not.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to defer to, we hadn't talked to an accountant about this. Because everybody else, he's talking about when he reached 70 and a half and you have an IRA and you have to take money out of it, then you have to pay, but see, I mean, going back there, only the money you take out of your IRA, that money is added to your income tax. So there should not be any issues with appreciation of your assets. There wouldn't be. It's only what you were taking out. And you're trying to reduce your requirement minimum distribution. That means you need to reduce the amount of money you have in your account. Okay.
Exactly. In the IRA, before I transfer all my 401k into an IRA, if I can reduce the amount of stock and put it into a taxable brokerage account,
okay,
and then in the future, because I am pretty confident that this stock will increase in the future. So if it's selling at 80 now and it goes up to 120 later. Then I would execute sell some stock and then pay the 15%
as soon as you roll it out of your 401k into a brokerage account, whatever amount you did, that's going to be added to your adjusted gross income for that year, the year that you did it. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So
what I'm saying is that how is that stock taxed? If it's at or below what I paid for it as I was accumulated through my years of employment.
You wouldn't be taxed on it. You wouldn't be taxed on it because it's in your 401k. You're not taxed on it at all. Zero tax while it's in your 401k. When you move it to the account that is not a retirement account, to your brokerage account, whatever the amount you move, that is added to your gross adjusted gross income, and that's all that happens. The buy and sell, the cost basis, it does not matter in your 401k. None of that matters. It's only when you move it out of the 401k. Okay? I got to go. I appreciate the call. David, I appreciate the call. It's kind of a complex situation, but you know, it can be boiled down to if you move it from your 401k to a brokerage account, that amount of money, and if you do it while you're at retirement age, that amount is added to your income for that year. Cost basis means nothing in a 401k and IRA. You're listening to Invest Talk. Coming up on the next half hour, the bad guys that might beat you to your tax return. You know what I mean? Talking about scammers again. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number you can call right now.
Coming up on the next Invest Talk, responsible investing is becoming more appealing to investors because it makes good business sense. Making sense of sustainable investing, that's one of our talking points on the next podcast. Bring your questions too. Please join us on the next Invest Talk. Invest Talk is made possible each day by KPP Financial. This is InvestTalk for Friday, January 15th. Remember, Steve meets with a limited number of InvestTalk listeners. He meets on Skype or by phone. To schedule your time, click on Schedule a Meeting on InvestTalk.com.
888-99-CHART. We're going to talk about our main talking point today, three-step retirement portfolio. It's an article that you can see on our website. But it's really not a three-step retirement portfolio. He's describing a long short portfolio. So his first segment of his three parts is the long segment, where you buy stocks, dividend. He likes dividend income paying stocks. I like those too. Everybody likes those. And then there's a short component where you short the indexes using ETFs for a certain amount. And then there's his third step, a process to manage the volatility, meaning how much, and all this, it's boil it down this way. How much short versus how much long? What should be your balance? Short, long portfolio. Now, many articles are written by about 70-30, where 30% short, 70% long. But, you know, what he's suggesting is that that mix of long, short should increase and decrease. And that's what we do in our stock management account. We're long, short right now. And it's a matter of trying to, this is what it is. It's trying to protect the assets from a steep fall, especially when you're getting closer or are in retirement. You just can't afford the big fall in assets. So you can use the long short, but there's also another method that we use is 50. We have a 50-50 program where we buy 50% bonds and 50% stocks that pay dividends. And then we move to cash those stock portion of that to hedge against any strong fall in the market. And that works well too. All we're talking about, this article and what I'm talking about is a strategy. You got to come up with a strategy that's comfortable for you. What strategy do you like? And then you implement that strategy and you watch that and you make sure you follow the strategy and it works. And I like dividend-paying stocks and have for some time simply because dividends can be a pretty good part of a pretty big part of the portfolio's overall return, especially when you're in retirement and you want to live off the income. You don't have to worry about capital preservation so much if you have a proper either long, short, or balance between bonds that you hold to maturity and high dividend paying stocks and cash. I mean, if you balance all those things right, you don't lose much money. And that, you know, the value of the portfolio won't go down much. The volatility is less. you know, in a long short portfolio, you would think the volatility would be more. No. The short offsets the longs, and longs offset the shorts. It reduces volatility. And even though the shorts could be very volatile in and of themselves, but it still will reduce the volatility of the overall portfolio. Anyway, it's a good article. It's a strategy that's, you know, I kind of like. I have no problem with that strategy. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Our phone is always open for questions. Whether you're new to investing or you have a more complex question, maybe, hopefully it's not too complex for me. And the number is always the same, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Ryan from Pennsylvania, podcast listener. Interested in your thoughts on IBM. Wanted to see if you thought it was a value trap or if this is a good time to buy. Thanks. Listen to your program on the, or listen to your answer on the next program.
IBM, you know, IBM has been hit pretty hard since May of last year, and it broke down its support today. It was holding, trying to hold support today, and it broke it a little bit today. So now you're going to want to look at it on the next trade day, Tuesday, see if it can recapture that support number. IBM, you know, everybody knows who they are. It's a big cap company, pays a dividend of 4% right now. Is it a value trap? I would say no, because I think, you know, they make money every year. They're going to make the money this year. They're going to make money next year. They're going to make $14.93 for 2015 fiscal year. They're going to make $15.01 next year. They're not going to not make money, and it's a PE of 8. I think IBM's a great value play right now. It's not a value trap, because a value trap is something that means it's going to go down more because it's not really that cheap, you know, 8 PE. It's not really that cheap because earnings next year is going to be worse than it is this year. Well, it's going to make $15 and it's a $130 stock. I don't see it as a value trap. It has a $21.40 cash flow. I'd say no, it's not a value trap. It's a matter of, is this the low or is it going to go lower and then you want to be a buyer of it? And I will admit that we own IBM in our income program, income account, because of that 4% dividend. And it's cheap. The stock is cheap. So it doesn't mean I won't sell it, but I want to hold on to it. And it is going to make money. It has made money. It's never lost money, you know, in years. So it's time for Invest Out Personal, the day-to-day money choices we make that can have lasting impact. Beat the bad guys to your tax refund in 2016. There's about 1 million tax filings that are filed. Your tax returns are filed on out of 110 million taxpayers that are fraudulent. Not by the taxpayer. Someone files your taxes. A fraudster files taxes in your behalf and collects your money. And, they always come in twos. I'm sorry. Anyways, that's, so if you file sooner in the tax year, and the IRS is starting to go through the paperwork, I think on the 19th, I think, is when they start. The sooner you file, the less probability of trying to file it before you. Now, 1 million out of 110 million is less than 1%, so the odds are slim. But if it happens to you, it takes an average of 278 days to straighten this out for you to get your money. Okay? So it takes almost three quarters of a year to straighten it out. You will get your money, now it's on you to prove that, you know, that you didn't get the money, or that wasn't your tax return, or, you know, 9 months. So the best way to avoid this, you file as early as you can. Once you get your W-2s or your 1099s, if you can, file early. The sooner you do it, the better. That's InvestOp Personal. Let's get back to the phones. Give us a call at 888-99-CHART.
How about some inside information?
We have a whole library of helpful webinars and a series of info sheets, single sheets on subjects ranging from insurance to the value of annuities. Become an InvestTalk insider. Join up for free right now on InvestTalk.com.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Chris Reed from Louisville. I wanted to give you a call and get y'all's opinion on Freeport McMoRan. That's FCX. So obviously, it's been beaten down really bad in the last 12 to 18 months. So I'm looking at a chart, and it's at support from late 2000. And it looks like, you know, contrarian play, long-term play. I'm looking at staying in it for about 10 years. Just want to get your thoughts on that. I think myself, gold would rebound and presenting a good opportunity, in my opinion. So I'd like to get your opinion on FCX, Freeport McMoRan. Thanks.
Okay, Freeport McMoRan engaged in exploration and development of copper, gold, silver, molybdenum mines in Indonesia, North and South America. Now, this is the issue with Freeport McMoRan. I was just looking at it today. The issue is that they have a very large component of mining for copper. So it's not a gold or silver pure play. And copper, we have way too much of it right now. China is using less and less of it, and they were the biggest user before. So so if you're really looking for a gold play, Freeport McMoRan is not probably the choice that you're looking for. It's not. I will say this: the stock itself is fairly inexpensive. They're going to lose 11 cents this year. Then they're going to make 46 cents next year, and it's a $4.35 stock. So you're looking at a less than a 10 PE. And, you know, eventually it will recover. But how long will it take for commodities to recover? Well, then you have to go to the question of, well, how long do you think it's going to take China to stabilize and start putting more demand on copper? How much copper do they have stored? See, this is a difficult question. So if you're looking for gold, that's a different matter. It's different than copper. It's a precious metal versus a non-precious metal. And if you're looking for you're thinking, well, I want to buy something that will move with gold, then you don't buy Freeport McMoRan. You want to buy another mining company that's mostly focused on gold and silver, not copper or molybdenum, for that matter. Okay. Good question. 888-99-CHART. Do we have capitulation? Do you know what capitulation means? That means when everybody throws in the towels and gives up on the stock market. And that, why is that important? Because when you have capitulation, everybody's out. That's when you want to start buying. You want to start buying. So do we have capitulation? And I'm going to talk about three things you should look at. Look at the buy-sell ratio. It's not at an extreme. Not yet. Look at the ARMS index. That's a volume weighted market breadth index. And it's at 1.71 right now. The stream for that index is 2 to 3. And on September 4th, when the market fell 470 points, it was at 4.95. Remember, it's at 1.7. We're not at an extreme. And then look at the VIX, volatility index. It's not on an extreme. I hate to say this, but I feel like we're not done with the correction. There's not enough negativism. Now, will we get a short-term bounce? We could very easily get a short-term bounce in the market, but I would use that bounce probably to sell, not buy. If we get a capitulation day, let's say Tuesday and the market's down 500 points again, like kind of much like it was this morning, and all these you got VIX spiking up, everybody's scared to death now because it's been down, right? We don't have, here we have the worst start ever, and yet there's no extreme in fear. Why is that? Well, it doesn't matter if we don't need to know the reason why necessarily, but you need to be able to observe the different indexes and the different studies that kind of tell you whether it is at an extreme or not. And they're not pointing at an extreme right now. Yes, it's negative. Yeah, I'm not talking about that. Your best buying opportunities is an extreme. Your best selling opportunity is at an extreme. So, but we don't have that. So we just have a lot of negativism, but I don't know if it's enough yet. Let's go to John in El Cerrito. How you doing, John?
Hi, Steve. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for the call.
I want to ask about Royal Gold, RGLD. I bought some about a month ago, and then it tanked the next day, and it's still tanking.
Don't you hate that? I mean,
Yes.
I mean, you think you're doing the right thing. You buy it, and the very next day it goes down. You go, dang, you know, what's wrong with me? Okay, this is Royal Gold, Inc., owns and manages royalty interests in precious metals mines, mainly gold and silver, in 20 countries. So it owns royalty interests in mines. It's not really, it's not a miner. It doesn't go get it. It just owns the interests in other miners. So it's an income play. They're going to make $1.05 this year, 2016. That's up 57 cents from last year, up. So it's about an 80% increase, and then another 32% increase for next year. So they're showing good, solid numbers, and I can see why you'd probably be pretty frustrated, huh?
Yeah, I don't understand why it went down so drastically. It's gone down about 40% in 1 month, something like that.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, if it's going to make $1.39 and it's a $28 stock, it's expensive. That's what your problems are. It's expensive. It's an expensive stock. And I'm not showing much debt, though. And I'm not, you know, it looks fundamentally pretty sound from what I can see here.
And I'm wondering if I should buy more or if I should just leave it alone and wait.
I think you can buy more, but not yet. I think you want to wait. Do you see what it did for a month? It went sideways and then it broke down again. What you'd like to see is it go sideways and break up. If it goes sideways and starts to break up, that's when you want to buy more. You want to see that.
Okay.
You want to see that sideways movement. And I'll say this, John. Just because it moves sideways and then goes up, it could still roll over and go down. It only increases your odds when that chart pattern is like that. When it goes sideways and then up, it increases your odds of success. Doesn't always mean you're successful, but right now it's still falling. So your odds of success are pretty low right now.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for the call, John. RGLD, Royal Gold, Inc. Remember, gold was up. Gold was up, but didn't help the miners. They were down. A reminder, if you have a question you don't want aired on the program, you can get a note to me directly. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve. And I will get back to you, I promise. Of course, you can get to me by phone right now, 888-99-CHART. Gene in North Carolina is next. We're going to talk to Gene in North Carolina. How you doing, Gene?
Hey, fine. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You talked a little bit earlier today about how to avoid IRS tax return fraud by trying to file your return a little bit earlier.
Yes.
So that someone else can try and file it in your name.
Right.
Yeah, the problem I have with that is that I have to wait for all these 1099 forms to come in from mutual fund companies.
So do
and
I.
So forth.
So do
yeah.
I. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't mention that, you know, sometimes you don't get the documents you need. And, Gene, have you noticed that the 1099, sometimes they send you new ones or the old one wasn't right?
The corrected ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's even worse, you have to wait for K-1s.
Exactly. I agree with you on that, too. That's why I didn't buy any K-1 socks in last year for my clients. So I wouldn't.
Yeah, the solution... The solution I have to try and avoid the fraud is actually to withhold less money during the year so that I know at the end of the year I won't expect a refund, but I'll expect to pay maybe a couple $100 to the IRS.
Now, see, that's what I like, too. I've been doing that for 30 years. I always try to pay right on with what I owe, And that's, I think, is the smart. Why do you want to give them more money than you're owed? But most people, Gene, use this refund as their method of saving.
I understand.
Which, yeah, I think is silly. You shouldn't. But why are you giving them an interest-free loan?
I mean, you can't owe them too much, or you'll pay a penalty. I think it's over $1,000. I think if at the end, if you owe more than that, I think there's a certain threshold where you have to pay a penalty. But if I just owe a couple hundred dollars, that's perfect for me.
Yeah, you're doing the smart thing, Gene. That's what I would recommend for everybody. But it's a good thing. Appreciate the call. Thanks for the comment.
I really
appreciate that. Let's go to Bark in Fremont. Is that how you say it, Bark?
Yes, that's correct, Steve. And my question is about PSX Phillips 66.
Mm-hmm.
Warren Buffett has been buying it. So I wanted to know whether what's the dividend it gives and what's the prospect, because the crude has been going down, and when the crude comes back up, they are into refining. What will happen?
Okay. This is Phillips 66, everybody. PS is in Sam, X is in X-ray. Engaged in refining and marketing of oil and gas for petroleum chemicals, petrochemicals, and other things. Notice it's refining and marketing. It's not exploring. It's not drilling. It's not getting the oil. It's refining it. So someone else is doing the getting of the oil. They have to buy the oil from them. So in essence, their import costs are going down, which is the oil. They buy the oil and then they refine it and sell it. So in one sense, that's a pretty good deal. I mean, right now with oil so low, their costs are going down. Problem is that the demand for the petrochemicals they make has gone down too. So I will say this, though, they're going to repurchase $2 billion of their stock. They announced that in like middle of October. And that's 5% of their outstanding stock. It's a $41 billion company. So that's pretty impressive. They're paid 2.9%, Barack. That's what they pay in dividend, 2.9. I like the company. I think it looks pretty darn strong. And, you know, even in the market that we're facing, you know, they were up last year. Okay, from the beginning of last year, they traded sideways for much of the year, but they were up for the beginning of last year and then traded sideways and spiked up in November, December, and now they've come back down to where the sideways movement was. And it's a stock that I think it's right at support. This is where you'd be a buyer. So I kind of like it. Okay, Barack? Thanks for the call.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate
the call.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Just so you know, not all stocks are down. Not all of them. Did you know that Fluor Systems was up 11.4% so far this year? They were down 13% last year. How about Macy's? It's up 8.3% so far this year, but it was 46% down last year. Our Time Warner is up 7.7%. Those are the top gainers so far this year, but Time Warner was 24% down last year. So, you know, even though they're up, there's just a problem. It was a tough haul. Our time is up, but if you have a question you want to ask, you can always ask it in between shows in our 24-hour listen line, 888-99-CHART. Just leave the message. We'll get to it. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody else at KPP, thank you for listening, and let's do it again next week.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.